Father, we are so grateful for this evening. We're so thankful, Lord, for the gift of marriage, how you bless us, how you walk with us, Lord. And what a gift it is to, Lord, be a part of this wonderful blessing called marriage, that you really exemplify Jesus' love for his church, his body, his bride. And so, Lord, encourage us this evening in your word. Through the power of your Spirit, Lord, we just surrender to you this evening. We sit at your feet. We trust in you, Lord. And we pray you would speak to our hearts. Change us, Lord. Teach us and grow us up, Lord, together. We love you and thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so just a little recap. Over the last few weeks, week one, of course, we went over the authority of God's word, the lordship of Jesus, letting Jesus be Lord and Savior, submitting to that, and of course, the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that was week one. Week two, we went over forgiveness, looking at God's love for us, for people, and Christ's expense so that we can be forgiven. And we wanted to translate that to our marriages, that we really don't have the right to not forgive. We have the free will to not forgive, but we really don't have the right. And Jesus suffered and died for us so that we could be forgiven. So we are commanded to forgive others, especially in our marriages. And week three, last week, we looked at being together, surrendered to the Lord, and we took a look at what that meant, what surrender means, and we saw some wonderful definitions of surrender, where it was just a willingly, and just submitting and handing over willingly to God everything, including our marriages, and so that our marriages can be sanctified, they can be set apart, and so that God can be glorified in our marriages. And surrender is so important, and it's something that we're always doing. You know, we surrender this, and then we go a short time, and then we find ourselves coming to the cross and surrendering something else to the Lord. There's these things that creep into our lives that we have to remember. We can always come to the cross and say, Lord, you know, forgive me, take this from me. And he desires to do that because he loves us. Tonight, we're going to look at the topic of growing together. Those last 3 weeks were really laying a foundation as we saw the story, the parable that Jesus taught of the man who built his house on shifting sand. And when the storms came, and the winds came, it just destroyed the place. But the man who built his house upon the rock on a good foundation, when the storms came, and the winds crashed and the waters crashed, it was able to hold up because its foundation was on the rock. And we looked at that as Jesus. So the last 3 weeks were really just foundational, because if there's any place that we struggle in these last 3 weeks, the next 4 weeks together, it's going to really be a struggle. We have to come to a place where we're in agreement with the Lord on those topics we went over, because they're so important. Surrender, forgiveness, God's word and being ultimate authority, the lordship of Jesus, and the power and leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we can't come to grasp that and agree with a yes and amen to that, the benefits of marriage won't matter, because the foundation's going to be sand. So we went over those to build the foundation, but it's awesome because tonight we're going to start looking at the wonderful blessings that come with marriage, according to God's word. And the many benefits and many blessings. But tonight, we're going to start that, and we're going to be looking at those blessings. We'll be looking at the benefits and even the rewards that come with a godly marriage. Last week, I shared that quote, and I keep repeating this to myself, so I'm going to share it with you. But it was, in God's sight, a successful marriage is not based upon what we have accomplished, but our humility and dependence upon him. And that's just so important to remember. we never arrive this side of heaven. We're never arriving, and we're never got it. We're not there. We won't be there until we're in heaven with our Lord. And so this quote holds so true. And tonight, as we look at the scriptures, we're going to be dependent upon God to teach us about the goodness of marriage and some of the blessings that we see in marriage. And what, more importantly, what God desires to see in our marriage. You know, God is a giver of good gifts, folks. And we are going to look at the importance of marriage in God's sight. And he desires to give our marriages good gifts and do good things in our marriages. Wonderful things, amazing things. We're going to start tonight in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to move around a little bit, but if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 2. Just kind of going back on a couple things we went over, but they're just so important. So foundational. Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And the first thing I want to point out tonight is God sees our needs. He sees our needs. And imagine this. All of us here are married. Can you even imagine trying to accomplish the things that you're doing in your life without your husband or without your wife? I can't. And also, I know what it's like to be a Christian who is living a single life and living singleness. And I remember, you know, having conversations with the Lord, and it wasn't a fleshly thing, but there came a point when I was talking to the Lord and I was saying, "Lord, where's my helper, Lord?" You know, not that he's not enough, but there came a point when you're surrounded by these godly marriages. And as we're going to look at the scriptures, what happened with Adam, there came a point that as Adam is naming all the animals, you know he's seeing all these animals together. He's seeing them together, male and female. That at some point, Adam had to wonder, well, where's my other? There's something missing here. In all God's creation, there's a female, male, but it's just me. Not that, you know, Adam was worried about that, but certainly being a man, he had to have those wonders. But before he could even say anything or think anything, God saw that it was not good that he should be alone. God still feels that way about us, guys. It's not good that we should be alone, and he's blessed us with our wives by our side. He's given us a physical person right next to us that we can see, that we can touch, that we can love, so that we know the love the Father has for us, and we know the importance of not being alone. In Genesis chapter 2, if you just back up a little bit, verse 19 of chapter 2, after God made that statement, I'm just going to read it, verse 24. "So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken of man, taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is the start of marriage. This is the first marriage we find in Scripture, God's perfect design for marriage. Adam's naming the animals, and God sees the need, and he says, not only does he need someone, and it's not good that he is alone, but he needs someone who is comparable, somebody who is equal. That's important, too. In our marriages, it's not a power struggle. It's both of us submitting unto the Lord. God has his chain of command, but we're both submitting to each other in the reverence of God. If we're both submitting to God, then everything's going to work out exactly the way God intended. He made a helper for him. We must not take that lightly, that God has given us a wonderful helpmate here to get through life, to get through ministry, to get through whatever it is we're facing. We have someone to pray with. We have someone that loves us and we love them. So you have somebody that knows you better than anybody else on earth. And it's this wonderful gift. God has brought us together. There was a need. God met it. And the need was for someone comparable, equal to. And the purpose was to work together. The purpose was that we would be on the same page in unity, in one accord. That's why it's so important those first 3 weeks, having that foundation laid so that we can come to this place and we see God's creation of marriage here. But we're not to take our marriage lightly. God has brought us together. And again, as it says here, we have become one flesh. And essentially, throughout the Bible, anything that speaks just to you, it's not just you, but it's your spouse as well. And the two have become one flesh. So what affects you, it's going to affect her and vice versa. That's why we have to be in one accord. We have to be going for the same goal. We're going to look a little bit later at being co-laborers together for the kingdom of God. Very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, we're actually called God's fellow workers, co-laborers, if you will. We're together in our marriage, co-laborers for Christ, and there are many benefits in marriage as ordained by God, and we're going to look at those in Ecclesiastes, if you want to turn there, to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And out of this scripture is where we get our title for tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 9 through 12 tonight. Everybody got it? Everybody there? Great. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. In the very first verse of verse 9 that we read, as he states, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. It's something to keep in mind is ultimately one of the things that we should be striving to do as husband and wife, as co-laborers for Christ's kingdom, is we're workers for the Lord, doing the work of the Lord. And ministry takes place outside of this church. It's not just inside the church. It's wherever we're at, our workplace, friendships, appointments, things that we have outside the church. God has opportunities everywhere for ministry to take place. There's a good reward for their labor. In marriage, we have many opportunities to receive these rewards. Many opportunities that are come from the Lord, both rewards in heaven, and also he rewards us even here on earth. There's rewards that are attainable even this side of heaven. Ruth chapter 2 verse 12 tells us that the Lord will repay our work, and a full reward is given to us from the Lord God of Israel. The Lord repays, he pays his workers well. Not that he has to, but because he's good to us and he loves us. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Genesis 15:1, and this is the ultimate reward, we're told that actually God himself is our exceedingly great reward. I think about the cross when I hear that, when I read that verse. As Jesus bled and died and suffered on the cross for us, I come to that place and I think, in his mind, in his omnipotence and knowing everything, he was looking at you and I as his reward. As Hebrews tells us that it was the joy set before him that he endured the cross. And the joy is you and I to reunite us with our Heavenly Father, to bring us back together, to reconcile us. So God is our exceedingly great reward, but the same holds true for God. I don't fully understand it. And I certainly don't believe we deserve it, but we are his reward. We're a pearl of great prize. There are many rewards listed in the Bible that we can attain together. Proverbs 25, you can write these down. We're going to go through a lot of verses here, and this is some good study material tonight when husbands, you read to your wives. Proverbs 25, verse 21 and 22, we're told that the Lord will reward us when showing kindness to our enemies. When we show kindness to our enemies. These aren't things that we can just apply individually, but these are things we bring together in our marriage because the two have become one flesh. What affects me is going to affect my wife. It's going to affect our marriage. Showing kindness to our enemies. It's interesting. We just read that this morning in our men's prayer time, and when we read that, I was like, right on, Lord. You're speaking to my heart here. Matthew 6:6 tells us that when we pray in our quiet place, God rewards us openly. Rewards us openly. Colossians 3, verse 24, tells us that from the Lord we will receive the reward of the inheritance for those who serve the Lord Jesus. We have an inheritance. I like that. More, so many rewards to go over. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 tells us that for our trust and our confidence in the Lord, we will be rewarded by him. When we trust in him, when we have confidence in him, when we obey him, we will be rewarded. Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Simply put it, pursuing God together in our marriage. That's really what this Bible study is about, is to get us all into a place where we are pursuing God together. You know, that we're hand in hand and we're pursuing God together. And that's why we're encouraging the prayer time. Husbands washing our wives with the word and time of prayer together each night. We're going to incorporate worship. That's the next challenge to add, to spend at least two or three songs of worship together each night, to just worship the Lord together, pray together, read the word. It's so important in our marriages. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 says, God rewards generosity and acts of kindness towards other others, even our enemies. So even just being generous and being kind and being Christ-like to others and showing Jesus to others, showing love to others and compassion, there's rewards in that. Again, not that we deserve them, but God is a giver of good gifts, folks. Just look right next to you. He is a giver of great gifts. And marriage is one of those that is only second to Jesus. He rewards generosity. In our marriages, it's important to have practical ways that we can see these rewards manifest in our lives. Not that we're going doing this for the rewards, but we certainly want the blessings of God, and especially in our marriages. Because the enemy's out there with enough decoys and enough things coming against marriage that we need to experience the blessings of God, the power of God in our marriage, so that we can walk in this world and be a light in our marriages. Our marriages, again, they're a living parable for the world to see what it means that Jesus suffered and died for us, and he calls us his bride, the church, but we're a living parable to testify of that love from Jesus. People see our marriage, and if they see us serving each other, loving each other, and they see peace in your home, they see fruit coming off your life, you know, strongholds are crumbling around you, that's the power of God. And when people see that, they're going to go, what is going on? Why is your marriage so good? And it opens a great door to say, it's not that our marriage is so good, it's that God is good and he is the center of our marriage. And it opens up a door to share Jesus. People are watching. The world is watching. Do you remember those staggering numbers we went over in the first week? Just to remind you, I'm going to find them here real quick. Just to be reminded just how the enemy is working against marriages. Last year, 2017, 876,000 divorces in America. Six digits. Breaking it down, that's 73,800 per month, 2,400 per day, and that is a divorce every second. So if the enemy is working so hard to deconstruct, devalue, and just completely wipe out God's plan for marriage, it must be pretty important. Now, the enemy wouldn't have anything to do with it. He wouldn't even attack it. But it is important. See, our marriages can make an impact for the kingdom of heaven. Unlike any other gifts that God gives us here, this side of earth, marriage is a special blessing from God. And he desires that we bear fruit and that we do these things in obedience. And because he loves us, he rewards us. Again, all these scriptures, drawing close to God, pursuing God, being obedient, showing kindness, showing compassion, all those things we cannot do in our own strength. We have to, and it's so important to be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, we can't put the Holy Spirit in a small box. He's God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, equal in power. He is God. And we desperately need his strength. We need his leading. We need the power of God in our lives and in our marriage so that we can accomplish these things. God so desires to bless our marriages. As I'm reading this and I was getting ready for this, I was so blown away, and I always am in awe of God's word as he ministers to my heart, but he was really speaking to my heart and just saying, I have so much more to show you in this. There's so much more God has planned than where we're at right now. There's always a next level that God desires to take us to take us to that next step of faith, that next step of growth, that next step of seeing whatever strongholds are in your life, just see them start crumbling down. And our weapons are not carnal. They're spiritual that God gives us. They're for pulling down strongholds. Ephesians, I'm going to go to Ephesians and read. You can if you want, or I'll read it to you. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. Says this, bondservants, that is also another translation, is a bondslave. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. So everything that we do together, every opportunity we have is an opportunity to serve the Lord. In workplace, even just going around, going out, going shopping, running into people, we have these opportunities to do everything, if we choose to, as unto the Lord. And part of doing that, we're recognizing that we're bond slaves. All of us. Now, though we're bond slaves, God has, Jesus has paid for us with his precious blood. It's no longer us who live, but Christ lives in us. Even though that holds true, even as a bond slave, God blesses us as if we're just the heirs to the kingdom, which we are. God's love for us is so incredible that he desires, and it says here, if we do everything as we're doing it to Christ and as unto the Lord, he says, all that we give out, we're going to receive the same from the Lord. What we give out, he's going to just replenish. He's going to put back in, not just financially, not just monetarily. There's things we can give of that are other things in our lives to bless God and serve him, and he's going to repay that and reward that. But he says we have to be doing the will of God from the heart. That's very important because we're told in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, that we're storing up treasures in heaven, right? We're storing up treasures in heaven, but we're also told that where our treasure is, where we're storing up treasure, there our heart will be also. So we want our hearts to be kingdom-minded, if you will, keeping our hearts fixed on the things of God, having the right motives for doing the things that we do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12 tells us that great is our reward in heaven. So in our marriage, going back to what Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, that there is a reward for the work. Now, in our marriage, we have an opportunity to double the blessings, if you will, to do double the work. Because God has made the two to be one flesh, we can get twice the work accomplished for the kingdom of heaven, which is really, I think, awesome. Able to do twice the work for God's kingdom, to be twice as effective for the kingdom of heaven, and God will reward those. Now, there is known, there is what is going to be taking place after the rapture of the church. There is what is known as the Bema Seat of Christ. It's the judgment seat. It's a place where God is going to take all that we've done, be it good or be it bad. He's going to take all that we've done and he's going to cast all our works into a fire. And the works that were done in the flesh are going to burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. But the things that were done with the right motive and with the right heart set to do God's will, those things are going to come out as precious rubies and precious stones. And that's going to take place. Not only that, But there is also what is known as there's the crowns that we may or may not receive, depending. There's five crowns in the Bible: the crown of righteousness, which is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. There's the crown of glory, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. There's the crown of life, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. There's the incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. And then there's the crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 to 20. These are all crowns that have different meanings in our walk with Christ. Some are for those who are winning souls to Christ. Some of these crowns we're going to get just for loving the appearing of Jesus, to see Jesus come. And I encourage you again, in your Bible study time, to go over these things, go over the crowns that we can attain for the kingdom of heaven. Because at the Bema Seat, when he takes all our works, he's also going to be handing out crowns. Why is this so important? The crowns that we receive, we're told in Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, will be cast back to the feet of Jesus. Now, God has obviously set this in motion, that there are rewards to be earned here, this side of heaven, not only for earthly things, but heavenly things. And we have an opportunity to earn rewards that we can just give back to Jesus. Don't you just want to give something back? And here we are, this side of heaven, and we go, you have my heart, Lord, but you just want to give more. You want to give more because he's changed our lives. He's radically, drastically changed us. He saved us from hell. And he's working in our lives and he's blessing our lives. You want to give him something. And it's just, you ever get that feeling? You just want to give him more? It's like, what else can I give you, Lord? I know that you say you want me and you have me, but I want to give something to him. I want to do whatever I can for him. And earning those crowns, you'll get an opportunity to give something back to Jesus. Not that he needs it, but those crowns are going to be so you can cast them at the feet of Jesus when we see him in all his glory. Very awesome, very cool. Again, that's a whole nother study on the crowns, but those are part of the rewards that we can earn for heaven. However, there's also two more crowns that Scripture talks about that are crowns that we can receive right now, that we can wear right now. There is what is known as the crown of separation or sanctification. Now, in Numbers chapter 6, verse 8, this is a crown mentioned there, given to us when we are sanctified and set apart from this world and for God's glory. There's the word in there, separation, in verse 8. And if you look at the Hebrew word for that word separation, the word is nezar. It means to consecrate or to crown. So in Numbers chapter 6, verse 8, which I'll read it real quick here. Numbers chapter 6, verse 8 says, all the days of his separation, or the crown, shall be holy to the Lord. Are we sanctified? Are we set apart in our marriages? Are marriages sanctified by God? Have we willingly, as we read last week, given our marriages to the Lord and have him sanctify our marriages? That's a crown that we can wear right now. Again, it's known as the crown of separation, and it's one that we can wear this side of heaven, his sanctification over our marriage. A second crown that we see in Psalm chapter 5, verse 12, I'm going to read verse 11 and 12. Psalm chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as a shield. In the scripture, we see what is also known as the crown of protection. Again, on the Hebrew word for shield, it's very similar to nazar. It's atar nazar, and it means to be crowned. Okay, so that word where he says surround in Psalm is actually to be crowned, to crown him as with a shield. And so another crown is God's crown of protection. Are we coming to a place where we recognize if our marriage is being attacked, that God is the one who can protect us? He's our shield. As David wrote here, he said, let those who rejoice, who put their trust in you, trusting in God, let them forever shout for joy because you defend them. He goes before us. He's our defender. And let those also who love your name, do you love the name of the Lord? Because if you do, be joyful, he says. Let them be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You want favor in your marriage. You want favor in your walk with the Lord. I want God's favor. You know, I want to see the blessings of God. I want to see the power of God in my life. And I'm sure you do too. And he will, in turn, crown us, if you will, with a shield, a mighty shield that will surround us and protect us. Sanctification, or the separation, crown of separation, and a crown of protection. Those are two crowns that we can achieve right now just by coming to the Lord, submit our marriages to him. Lord, sanctify our marriage. Take our marriage and set it apart for your glory. That's sanctification. It's not just being set apart. It's being set apart for God's glory. That means he's working in us while we're sanctified. And we're not alone in this. We're being sanctified together. The two have become one flesh. It's no longer I who am being sanctified, but my wife and I, together in our marriage, we're being sanctified. God's working on us together. Together. It's so important. Don't leave your spouse behind, spiritually speaking, guys. It's important that we seek after God and we want to be the strong leaders in our home. But don't get so far ahead that you look back and go, where'd my wife go? Because it was Eve in the garden when Adam was nowhere to be found that Satan came and deceived her. I think it's really important that we stay together. We stay together and we grow together. So we have strong marriages rooted in the Word of God. So the rewards on Ecclesiastes verse 9, those are just touching some, a very minute amount of rewards that are available to us that God desires to bless us with. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And so do the work for the Lord together. Do the work together. It's so important, so very important. Verse 10, back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verse 10 says, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. There is a strengthening that comes in our marriage, that we are to protect one another, guard one another, strengthen and encourage one another. So that when we begin to fall or we find ourselves falling, we have our husband or our wife right there to help us to get up. in the nursing home ministry, one of the things I see a lot of is singleness. Many of the folks in there, their husband or wife have passed on. So I see a lot of folks who live alone. And I see them living in dangerous environments because they're by themselves. The one place that I go to, they have a pull cord if you're in trouble in your room. But if somebody falls and you can't reach that cord, one gentleman about a year ago, he fell, and it was almost 24 hours later before somebody even came to check. And the only reason they came wasn't because he didn't show up for anything. It was his medication time. They came to bring him his medication. He couldn't reach the pull cord. He couldn't do anything. He was, with the little small voice this man had, he was shouting and help, help, and nothing, because he was alone. And I'm reminded of that man when I read this scripture, because when we fall, one of us take a fall, not just physically, but it could be spiritually. Praise God we have our spouse, the very one that should be there right by our side to help us up. We don't leave our wounded, especially in marriage. We fight for each other. We hold on to each other. And as we're holding on to each other, we hold on to the Lord, because he's the only one that's going to keep us strong. We fight for one another. Our best friend, ministry partners, co-laborers in Christ, our lovers. Our spouse is everything. And don't take that for granted. Don't take that for granted. Hold us up when we begin to slip or we begin to fall. To pray for us when we're down. When we fall into times of sadness or even depression, to come alongside and encourage. We get beat up enough in the world. All of us do. We get enough beat up in the world. We need our spouses. We need to come together and pray for one another. Encourage one another. Help us to get back up at times. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have a praying wife that I know is praying for me every day. It's absolutely incredible. One of the many blessings in our marriage is the support that we are allowed to give each other. Encouraging one another in our prayers together, lifting one another up. So I guess what I'm saying here is, husbands, we want to be our wife's biggest fans, biggest supporters. And wives, to be your husband's biggest fan, biggest supporter. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, we're told to comfort each other and edify one another. So it's not a tearing down, it's a building up, to build each other up, encourage each other, edify one another. It's so very important. And one of the ways that we can do that, and this is why we've started in week 1, 2, and 3 with these little challenges. The purpose of these challenges is out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And that's where we get these little challenges. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts. The word, prayer, and worship. We need to be doing those things together in our marriage, apart from Sunday or Wednesday service. I mean, light it up. Have church in your home. You know, whatever it takes. Tara and I, we have 5 kids. You guys know our lifestyle pretty much. It's hard to find time for just about anything. But we make time for the reading. We make time to pray each and every night. And starting now with you guys, we're going to encourage and challenge you to take time and add 2 or 3 songs of worship into that time of prayer. Or into that time of reading. pick two songs, three songs if you want, whatever you want to do. Take time to just sit with your wife and worship. Just worship and praise God together. Because that's what Colossians is ultimately saying. We want the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. That's the word of God. In all wisdom, teaching. That's why husbands, we're washing our wives in the word. It's a beautiful portrait of what Jesus is doing with his bride right now. He's washing us in the word. In psalms, that's why we're reading the psalms. Hymns, spiritual songs. So we're incorporating those things. These are practical things that we can, start practicing right now that will strengthen our marriage. And we'll have breakthroughs, next level breakthroughs that we didn't even think we were there to exist. But God desires us to be in a deeper place with him, to grow together in him. Back to Ecclesiastes, verse 11. So verse 10, encourage one another, edify one another, lift each other up, because there will come a time when one of us will begin to fall, will begin to slip, will begin to be pulled into whatever it is, and we need to be ready to come alongside and say, you're going to make this. You're going to make it. I'm going to pray for you. I love you. To come alongside each other and be real. Because we're going to need it, all of us. Verse 11 of Ecclesiastes tells us, of chapter 4, tells us, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Just live in Coachella. No, I'm joking. Yeah. It's awfully hot here. We don't experience the cold. But what in this time and in this place, their winters were brutal. And it was a picture of survival. To freeze to death, you could freeze to death. And to have our loved one next to us to keep us warm. Not only to keep us warm physically, but also spiritually. Because we can come into places where we grow spiritually cold. And we're here to not only warm each other up physically, but we want to also warm each other up spiritually. Encourage each other. Encourage each other. How can one be warm alone? How can he be warm alone? There's such a difference in my marriage now as a Christian and marriage as singleness as a Christian. And the blessings that come with marriage are tremendous. I am so grateful for my wife. I'm so grateful to have someone to come to and talk to and just bear these burdens of life with, and the blessings too. In verse 12 of Ecclesiastes, he says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We are together stronger than we are apart. The enemy likes to cause division. We have to be wise to the enemy's ploys, his tactics. Stay close to each other. The two have become one flesh. So we stay close to each other. And in the midst of all this, what he's pointing out here is when the enemy attacks, that two can overcome him more easier than just one. So when we have struggles, and we're praying for each other, we encourage each other even in those, and pray for one another with our struggles. Pray for one another. Lift each other up to the Lord. We're in a battle. We're not in a playground. We're in a battlefield. And when we're together, we're walking in Christ. First, the enemy hates that. He's going to try to cause division there. But he says, a threefold cord strand is not quickly broken. So you have a rope, a picture here. You have a rope that's intertwined together. And that rope is strong, but it can easily be broken with the right amount of force. However, if you put a third strand in there, it makes it 10 times stronger. And the three-cord strand is where we see Jesus as the center of that rope, the center of our marriage. And that's next week's topic, is the three-cord strand. And we're going to look at that next week. But know this right here, when he's speaking of being overpowered by the enemy and how two can withstand him, and he says also a three-cord strand is not quickly broken. So in other words, we need Jesus in the middle. The very center of our marriage is Jesus. And he's got to be number one. You know, we're both striving to please God. We're both striving to follow the Lord and to please him. If we do these things, first recognize the blessings of marriage tonight. Recognize what he's saying here. You almost pity and feel sorry for the one who's alone as you read this. You really do. It's like, woe to him who falls. There's no one to help him up. He's left all alone. Doesn't say anything about a good reward or labor for the one. And he says two are better than one. No one to help him. And he said also, one may be overpowered by another. So one is easily brought down. And I read this and I go, thank you, Jesus, for our marriage. Thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful gift. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. I'm going to close with this. And I encourage you to really hold on to this scripture, this section of scripture. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. I love that. And full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I got to read that verse again. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another. Let us consider one another, husbands and wives. Let us consider one another. Why? In order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is one of the most beautiful sections of scriptures, as we see the writer here just crying out to stir each other up, encourage each other. And this most certainly applies to our marriages. This most certainly does. He sprinkled our hearts. I love this. He sprinkled our hearts from an evil conscience. I love that. God has gotten right into our hearts and got the evil conscience out of there. That sinful man sprinkled our hearts. So we hold fast. That means to hang tight. Don't let go no matter what. The confession of our hope. And our hope is in Jesus. Without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And if you're applying these things and that we've went over this last few weeks, if you're applying them in your life, God is faithful and he's doing work in your life. He's changing us. And tonight, be encouraged that so many blessings in marriage, so many rewards that we can seek to attain together, just not for ourselves, but to please God. Just to please God. There's so many wonderful things we can do in our marriage for Christ and see those rewards and hopefully, prayerfully, please our Heavenly Father in doing so. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word, Lord. We're so thankful for the many blessings and the many rewards, though we don't deserve them, God. You love us so much, and you are a giver of good gifts. You love to bless your children, Lord. And so we sit at your feet, Lord, tonight as your children. Lord, help us. Help us to be obedient to your word, Lord. Help us to take those steps of faith you require. When you call us, Lord, give us the strength to go. And we give you all praise and all glory, Lord. Lord, strengthen our marriages through this. May this not just be another study or anything or session or whatever. It's none of that. This is your church and your time, God. So change us, Lord. I pray that you would do a powerful and mighty work through our marriages and that you would break the strongholds, as the scripture tells us, that so easily ensnare us. Break those strongholds, Lord, and let us see the growth together as we walk together with you. We ask these things, Lord, and we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Oh, and the challenge.